Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
Hey, have you noticed how a lot of people on LinkedIn, or there are a lot of articles out there, kind of combination of both, are talking about how empathy matters now all of a sudden? I feel like it's become this thing with AI. People are starting to talk about compassion and being human-centered. And like, honestly, all the stuff that we've been talking about for years is finally coming around. Have you noticed that?
I haven't seen it yet, but I do feel like what people write about is in waves.
True.
And I'm now seeing no fluff. Uh-huh. Right? I feel like that's the word we were saying, yeah. And all of a sudden it's totally Everywhere. And it's kind of like, yeah. Are we all working from the same account or something? Like, you know, what is like this?
I think the state of the world is finally getting people to realize all the bullshit that's happening. I mean, yeah. Did you see the headline about the Pope, God bless his soul, probably the best Pope ever, refusing to meet with J.D. Vance and sending him to compassion training or something like that? Some kind of like, he got pushed out.
Even the Pope is like, boy, you need Jesus.
Right. Yeah, this is the headline, right? Pope sends deputy to lecture Vance on compassion at Vatican. Oof. Okay. I mean, yes. Thank you, sir. That needs to happen. But I love that on LinkedIn, people are saying leaders need to lead with empathy. It's the same damn thing. So anyway, that's just been top of mind for me. Like I like scrolling through the internet and seeing things that like have echoes of thoughts that I have or friends have, and that just really stuck out to me last week. So,
well, at least you're seeing it in a good light, right? As opposed to,
it's a good thing.
Something else. So hopefully they believe it.
Right.
Well, let's get that's a nice way to kick off the episode. Let's get into the huddle. What's been top of mind for you this week?
So a couple of things. You know, I'm always kind of like looking for new opportunities for speaking, and I've done a few conferences this year. I just had to sit down and make a list of the conferences that I'm either in conversations about or signed on for, and there are four of them so far. Plus there's one this week. I'm actually doing a panel tomorrow for the Agile Network, and it's going to be about explosive career moments. It's another place where I'm going to get vulnerable and people are going to think I'm spinning out and going crazy, but it should be fun.
Yeah, well, you can spin out and go crazy like the person I interacted with on LinkedIn this morning.
Yes, exactly. What's top of mind for you this week? What's your huddle?
Probably blue skies, weather's, you know, getting nicer, and it's going to be get easier just to ignore everything and just go be out in warm weather. So
yeah, it's 80 degrees here today. I'm so excited for that too. I mean, this is your prime time on the West Coast.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to get lost in the sauce and
good.
Just stop caring about time stuff. Off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's start caring about what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
In the review.
Let's get back to it.
Yeah. So first want to mention, before we get into the conversation, our two team angle topics. For those of you who are just tuning in, we are essentially writing a book through our blog, and it's about our team angle. And this week we have two articles on continuous learning, and essentially the benefits of continuous learning for teams, and how continuous learning can make teams even more resilient. So those are fun articles to write for some reason. I really like this set. So,
Because we believe in that. That's like something we believe in and we live, right? So
yeah, we totally live it, right? That's why we wrote the articles. Yeah. All right. So let's get into your piece. It's burnout isn't just yours to manage. It's yours to notice. Tell us a little bit about the background and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. So this was kind of continuing our theme based on what we're just seeing people struggle with right now. and helping to continue to shine a light on it. You know, burnout doesn't just happen. It doesn't come in with sirens and, you know, woo, woo. It builds and builds and builds. And it's weird because everything looks fine up until it starts to not being fine, and kind of where you are in burnout is not necessarily, like, you can't look at your team and say, oh, we're in this phase of burnout, because it's usually there's those things are out of sync, right? And how we show up and how we really feel and our kind of fake energy level and what our energy level really is. And so in looking at this, I wanted to see, we call it burnout, but there's like everything, there's shades here. There's a spectrum of burnout. And what does that look like, and how to recognize it, and how to maybe get through it. But then also a second step of how leaders have to acknowledge that they're burned out too, right? Mm-hmm. You need to put the oxygen mask on first before you put it on your team. Otherwise, everybody's going to pass out and die. Not die, but
wow.
You have to take care of yourself, right? You have to recognize your own burnout. You can't help anybody if you're a charcoal briquette. So, this really to me is like, we should turn this into a playbook, honestly, because when I hear people and read their posts about burnout, it's like this singular event. And it's like, it's not. This is like a life event.
Oh, yeah. So, there's a slow build.
A work event. And if you got to, you need more care to get through it, to recognize and get through it.
I agree.
And, you know, you and I have been here a couple times. So it's also a very passionate topic because it's hard to get through. So my question for you on this, or my first question is, where do you think most teams start to feel burnout? Not, you know, they experience it, but where do they start to actually feel it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's hard to pinpoint, right? And I think that's why burnout exists. I think it's in those quiet moments between meetings, right? It's the dread of joining a meeting, or when you've got a calendar full of meetings and you don't feel like you're making progress, similar to a conversation we just had, right? When you feel like you're not doing something meaningful, that's when, for me, that creeping dread really starts to take over. I think, you know, I don't think burnout always starts with like a big event or a breakdown. I think it starts with boredom. I think it starts with that like gnawing sense of futility. I think it starts with misalignment with the people that you're working with. That's when I start to feel burnout.
Yeah, that well, especially, you know, when things are not being communicated right, you do work that gets thrown away, or you miss a deadline because you didn't know about something. Yeah, you're right. It's not just a reaction or response to one thing. It's the butterfly effect, right? And to me, when teams start to feel it, when that that butterfly effect is literally getting in the way of some kind of progress, right? Yep. And I love what you just said about the calendars. When you open up your, especially in the beginning of a week, and you look at your calendar and you think, when am I even going to get anything done?
Right.
Right? I'm in meetings all day, and kind of explains to me why sometimes when I reach out to leaders and peers to talk to them, and they're like, hey, I could talk to you in like 3 weeks. Right. I just imagine like, oh my God, what is your day? What's your life like that you can't just make 15, 20 minutes? But I know they're not trying to avoid anything or put it off. It's just, that's the reality of their situation. So
right.
I'm curious, have you ever missed the signs of burnout yourself? Like, even though, you know, if you've been in this long enough, you've been here a couple of times, but have you ever stopped to look at this and say, WTF, how did I get here? Like, how did I allow this to happen?
I definitely have missed the signs before, mostly with myself. I think personally, it's really easy to kind of chalk it up to, oh, I had a bad week, or, you know, I didn't get enough sleep last night, right? But the feeling of burnout for me is like when the joy is gone, or my fuse is super short, which it's short to begin with. Or even if it's like really hard for me to make a decision, it feels like it's a burden to make a decision. That's when I know that the burnout is really there. And I think with others, like, the signs are even easier to miss if your culture is one that rewards silence and performance over honesty. So I don't know that I've ever been able to say to someone, it feels like you're burnout. Maybe you should take a break. One, because I don't think that that's something we're trained to do as leaders, and we should feel absolutely fine doing that. Two, because I don't think people reveal it as easily, or at least they haven't in the past. I think we're changing as a society, and I think as individuals, for what we want to get out of work and what we'll accept. So hopefully that means that, you know, we start seeing burnout sooner and accepting it, and actually helping people.
Well, but also to make it take away, I can't believe I'm saying this even after, you know, 10, 15 years when you and I had to deal with this at Happy Cog, but to take away the stigma, right? To take away that scarlet letter of, yeah, oh my gosh, you know, they're 1 foot out the door because they're burned to a crisp. We'll never get them back.
Yes.
Which leads me to what phase or stage of burnout in your experience is the hardest to recover from?
Yeah, this one's really interesting. So in the context of your article, essentially you kind of listed the stages, right? Overdrive, the smolder, the collapse, the void, gentle repair, reconstruction, and integration. And to me, it's probably the void, right? It's that time right after the collapse, because the collapse happens and like there's nothing you can do about it, right? The void, that time that's like kind of after, is when I would almost call like that the resentment phase, right? That's when people stop caring. That's when they start withdrawing. It's sometimes when they start undermining. And I think it's because it feels personal, even when it's systemic through a team or a company. And you can't coach someone back from resentment with just like a simple one-on-one or a check-in, right? Like there is a lot of work that has to be done to like rebuild trust and purpose and safety. And that takes time. That's really hard work to do. And, you know, to bring it back to the opening kind of statement or story, like it's when we have to use empathy. We have to be compassionate. It has to be okay that people take time. And to me, it's so hard because it's almost like what we're saying is we need to give people space to be human beings, but in business, that space doesn't necessarily exist. So that's why I think it's the hardest part, the hardest phase.
For me, it's interesting you said that. For me, it's reconstruction.
Oh, really?
Because whoever's left, right? You've been through this collectively, whether it's the collapse or the you know the void. Because once you get into repair, depending on how bad the burnout is, the severity means that especially the more that you make it a team effort, everything gets called into question. Right. So you take a look at all your processes, all your practices.
Right.
And then, you know, this isn't, I don't want to say this is a bad thing. It's just the most difficult.
It's challenging. It's funny because that's the work that I like, well, which is why we have a different point of view here. Like I get energized by doing that kind of work. So yeah. I don't see that as the hardest part. I see that as like, okay, we're past this hard part. Now let's get excited about what the future looks like. But I get your point of view on this. Absolutely.
I guess it could be just because everything gets called into question, right? As if we had the right checks and balances, we could have avoided that.
Correct.
Right. And it kind of gets back to the off the shelf system applied to everybody. And it's like, well, you're thinking in response to, it could be a thing, it could be a pattern, it could be a person, right, that led to this stuff. And when we think about how to respond, I feel like it's not so much the practice of reconstruction. It's how deep people tend to want to go, right? Mm-hmm. To make it so that everything has checks and balances. And the difficulty then, maybe my answer should have been integration, because the difficulty then is when you try to put that into practice.
Right.
Then you start to see like, oh, well, we didn't account for this contingency or yeah. this kind of thing, right? And then it just, I don't know, I find that's the probably the most
hard, confusing work. Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah. But yeah, it's not the, it's funny, our difference in opinion there. It makes sense, but yeah, I just kind of like that stuff. So,
so what do you think, why is it so hard for leaders to struggle to admit that they have, that they're burned out, that they're there?
Yeah, I think it's a struggle for leaders to admit they're burned out because they're supposed to be the steady ones, right? Yeah. Generally, I think we're taught that vulnerability is a weakness, especially if you're the one who's steering the ship, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think we're coming up on times where that might change a little bit. I hope it does, because, you know, pretending you're fine when you're not, like, that's not building trust or, you know, building good vibes within your team. It's only going to create distance, and it's exhausting, right? So burned out leaders, they don't just lead poorly. They unintentionally can kind of set the tone for the team, and that can be a really negative tone. So again, it's like, for me, this article is like part of a rally cry to like embrace burnout and call it for what it is and help fix it.
Just hug it. Just pet it. My little pet. You know. Yeah. So something I've observed recently is a leader who's probably looking like a stage 4 burnt toast, and they're having a hard time letting go and getting that break because they fear if I let go and let my team do the work, something's going to inevitably come up. They're going to try to fix it or not. The situation's just going to get worse. In other words, in my absence, the problem, that the thing that's stressing me out, burning me out, is just going to compound. So when I do come back, I'm just going to be I'm out. Mm, right.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's a, like, lack of trust, even when, and I'm sure you've been here, but I've had times where my team is like, you have got to go. I need you to take some downtime. You were just telling me this about 20 minutes ago of you should take next week off. Right. And so I feel like this is classic. A leader or someone on the team is being told, like, go, we got this. We will make sure that no lives are lost. Structure is saved. We won't let the thing burn down. And you still cling onto it thinking, I can't, because if I, like, what happens if?
What happens if we don't record 1 week of the high five?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
everything will be okay. It really will.
I have one last question. You kind of answered this before, but if there's one thing about burnout that you could change about how it's perceived, you know, what if you could normalize it, what would it be?
I think it's normalizing rest without guilt. I think it's
a good one.
Allowing people to take PTO without giving them side eye. But also at the same time, allowing people to take PTO and allowing them to be away, not fake mental health days where you still check in on Slack. Like, this happened to me recently. I had a day off. I was not feeling well. I was sick. I also had been feeling just like mentally exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting at messages on Slack while I'm driving my car from a doctor's appointment. And I'm not kidding you. I screamed. I was like, leave me the F alone. Like, can I get one day where I don't have to think about you?
And now I'm worried. That wasn't me, was it?
What? It was you. It was you. But no, it wasn't you. I'm joking. But like, this stuff happens. I don't blame the people who did it. But again, it's like, this is a norm. The norm is business keeps going. And if you're away, I'm going to at message you in Slack and email you 100 times. And no. I remember way back in HappyCog days, things were always intense there, right? Like things were always, always busy. Burnout was definitely knocking on your door all the time. Yeah. And I remember I went on a vacation with my family. I took the girls to Disney and we were in Disney parks. And I, for whatever reason, decided to open up my phone and check my email. And it ruined my entire day because somebody had emailed me asking for something. That person worked on my team. They knew that I was away with my family. They knew where I was, but they still decided to send that message. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there's a level of disrespect in that kind of behavior, that not allowing another person that you work with to take the time off that they need and deserve. That will always stick with me for some reason. But yeah, long answer. It's like, normalize rest. It's okay. People need a break. You need a break. Take the week off. Fine.
Yeah, I'll plus one that. Cool. Well, that was a good conversation. Like I said, I honestly think like this is part of the, you know, more of what we need to share and write about.
I agree.
Just because there's no training on this, and that's kind of how we have the bad habits that we do. So
I will say, side note on that before we get into the ask, I and you more, you're kind of like taking the lead on writing a lot about burnout. I'm kind of creeping into it. I think I've written 3 articles on my site about it, and I'm just being real and vulnerable in my posts. And I just wrote one just saying like, hey, I'm okay, because someone reached out and was like, oh my gosh, are you doing all right? And again, it's like, it's okay to talk about this stuff. Like, let's normalize talking about this stuff in an open and human way. Because for me, it's been a little bit gratifying to be able to say the quiet parts out loud, like we talked about last week. But I don't want people to worry about me because of it. Like, I'm all right. I'm just speaking my mind here.
Yeah. And that's okay. Just because you should too. Right.
Right. Right. Just because it's not about project management doesn't mean that I'm not okay. Dear Lord.
All right. Well, let's get into this week's ask. Listeners, what do you need to do this week?
We really want you all to come to the huddle. So the huddle is our 30-minute session where we pack it with insights that we've been talking about over the past month. And then we come up with a couple of conversation starters, get to know some new folks. And then we wrap it up with folks sharing their own hit list items. We run it all out of Figma. It's fun. I really want people to join. So come to the next one, May 7th. At 12:30 p.m. Eastern.
Maybe we'll turn it into an impromptu, like a burnout intervention.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the hit list. What is first on your list this week?
So, oh man, I opened up Apple Music and right there staring my face was In Excess, Listen Like Thieves.
Love that one.
40th anniversary edition.
Oof.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, that's so anyway, it's just so good. And it was a great reminder if I haven't listened to NXS in a long time. So
I got into them when I was in like the second grade. I love them.
The second grade. Wow.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have older siblings. My first is something I wrote. So I wrote an article called When Do What You Love Stops Loving You Back. And it kind of talk about advice I got that was to follow my happiness and how it feel like I feel like I've taken those steps. And I think that's weird advice. But what happens when it doesn't feel like things are going your way? So that's what I wrote about.
Very timely. My next one is something I wrote as well, and it's Open to Work is the New Tip of the Sword. And it was written out of love and support for so many people I know that have put on that Open to Work, you know, badge on their profile, and how really, you know, I talked about Scarlet Letter earlier today. That's really what it is, right? It's like you do it because you're trying anything you can. But in reality, it's not helping at all. And I talk about Open to Work, Yeah, but most sorry, in this article, I talk about how if you're on the outside and you're looking for work, I really think it you're actually at the tip of the sword of like whatever's coming next. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, wear that as the badge of honor, not your open to work badge, and lean into it as much as you can.
Good one. My next is listening. And it's an older COVID era one. I don't know, like COVID has been coming up a lot for me lately, and some of the like revisiting some of the like music and things that I was kind of doing back then, because it's been 5 years, which is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Folklore, the Long Pond studio sessions by Taylor Swift. So if you're rolling your eyes right now, give this one a listen, because it's not a typical kind of like pop record. It's really like an indie rock record. And it was one of the albums that like really drew me into that world. And it totally connects with something else I wrote, which I'll share next.
So did she record it during COVID?
She did, yeah.
Okay.
And so they recorded the album remotely, and then they came together. There were three of them. They came together and recorded a live studio session. So all of these songs are performed live, and they're like perfect. It's pretty good.
Interesting. Yeah. My next one is another piece I wrote called Make No Mistakes, Employees Will Always Just Be a Line Item. And it kind of goes back to happy times. Here, same team. It this kind of goes to something you were saying earlier about, you know, follow your passion, you know, make work your passion type of thing, or your passion your work. And how many times we see people posting about, you know, I spent X amount of years at big corporation. And I had all these responsibilities. I was doing all this really cool work. I loved it. And somebody I've never talked to before brought me into a conference room and fired me, right? Or let me go. And in this case, it was somebody who worked at Google, and they couldn't believe that their world is just upside down. And that feeling of even the work that you're doing, it's important. People tell you it's important. But when you're at that moment of being let go, it's kind of like saying you didn't matter, right? You and your work mattered up until it didn't.
Right.
And they don't care. There's nobody like, please help, upload your content, you know, hand it off to somebody. It's just gone. Right. And just trying to put it in perspective of, you know, kind of watch yourself, because I think we can get too tied up into our work and the meaning of that work when, at the end of the day, the world's still going to turn with or without you.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right. My next link is another article I wrote connected to the album that I was listening to. I wrote an article called Leadership Lessons from Taylor Swift. So it's funny. I was in my CMS looking at some of the drafts, and this draft was there like last summer. So when I think...
How funny.
The Eras Tour was a big deal, and like she was doing all this cool stuff, and I was like, this is so freaking cheesy, I'm not publishing it. And then yesterday I was like, let's dust this off, like let's start publishing every day. So I'm going to start publishing every day, and even if it means putting out some old stuff and looking like a 50-year-old weirdo. I'm not 50, I'm 48 by the way. And then my last link is, I'm not sure if you started watching this one, Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV Plus with John.
Not Hamm. Yet, but it's on my list.
Yeah. I only watched the first episode. Very good. Very good.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's wrap up this episode with the high five. What are we celebrating? What are we high five into on our way to the weekend?
Yeah, we're going to kind of bring this back to a little bit of a through line on this conversation, and it's empathy and compassion. We're high-fiving people who recognize that it's needed in the world today, in business today. So act on it.
Yeah, be empathetic, mofos.
Yeah, we'll force you to be empathetic.
Rest in peace, Pope Francis.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
You too. See you Monday.
Bye. No, you won't. Next week. You're taking off.
Bye. Thanks right. for right, listening right. to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.